Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm enjoying a lovely cup of tea on a Monday morning.
Is the boiler working? Didn't you have trouble with the boiler, or was it the coffee machine that wasn't working a little earlier?
The coffee machine is in the canteen here at Stakhanov HQ. Mm. The lovely chap, Alex, who runs it.
Slowly.
Huh?
What? Slowly?
He runs it slowly, but he's a lovely chap.
Yeah, he's a lovely chap.
I think he's more of a sort of victim of the system rather than any of his own kind
he's
of
He's a
issues.
Symptom rather than the cause, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, the coffee machine's broken. I was like, oh, I don't want a coffee. I just want a cup of tea.
I don't want a coffee, Alex.
And actually, it's one of those things where you know that, like, you, and you can imagine people, I get this a lot. Mm. I feel like I know better. So I'm like trying to say to him, mate, I don't want a coffee. I know you've got a problem with the coffee grinder,
yeah,
but I just want hot water.
Yes.
So if you just press that button.
Press the hot water button.
Yeah, it'd be fine. And it took me a couple of minutes to convince him to go off
to try it.
And it's if anything, it's making the tea even nicer.
Again, victim of the system. Because you were involved in the process of making
it's it. Harder earned.
Victim of the system. There was a woman who, on Twitter, she'd posted a video that her husband / partner had made of him making the world's worst cup of tea. He puts the water into a cup, and then he puts a couple of sugars, I think. Then he puts milk, and then the tea bag, for about 3 seconds, whizzes it around, and then pulls it out again. It doesn't not resemble one of your teas.
Should go to one of the you should actually have to go to some kind of re-education camp for that. This is episode 195 of the Luke and Pete Show. It's Monday the 19th of August. I'm Luke.
I'm Pete.
And we'll take you through the next half an hour or so.
Half an hour of your life wasted.
Talking about a load of blabbering crap, as per usual.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this and you're a long-time listener, you've got no excuse to complain because we've done 194 of these already.
Mm.
If you're a new listener, I apologise in advance.
I just worry we're hurtling towards 200 with nary a plan in action.
Yeah, it happened with 100, to be fair.
What did we do on 100?
I knocked out a top five moments on the day.
Yeah.
And took you through them.
Wow.
I don't even think you remember we had a recording that day.
No, I mean, I do need a memo when it comes to...
Well, people should get in touch. hello@lukeandpeacher.com. What would you like us to do for the 200th episode?
Yeah.
Keep it clean. Keep it reasonable.
We're not doing a live show. Fuck off.
And we will do our very best to entertain, at the very least, the sensible ideas that you come up with.
Yes, we'll entertain your notions. Entertain your notions with Luke Moore.
Yeah, that's going to be the... I hope I get a show like that one day.
What? Just called Entertaining Your Notions?
Yeah. I'll entertain your notions. What have you been up to this weekend? I worked all weekend, pretty much. I managed to squeeze in a day trip to Cambridge, but I worked on Friday night and Sunday night.
I worked both of those nights too, so I grew up, mate. I still managed to...
I'm doing talk radio, mate. 20 times harder.
I did a request show.
Oh, here's a song.
Lot of moving parts, guys. Yeah, but you can talk for England. You're just a big gas bag.
This is your show. This is literally your radio show. Hello, I'm Pete Donaldson. It's 11:53. Text me in on this number.
Why would it be 11:53?
This is what the time is now.
Right, okay.
11:53. Text me in on this number. Coming up, we've got a bit of Stereophonics. But what about this number from The Killers?
Burnt.
5 minutes off.
11:50.
Literally 5 minute break.
The Killers. How many Killers songs are 5 minutes long?
Back to back, mate.
What, two Killers songs?
Yeah.
A Killers double.
How many Killers songs are 5 minutes long? I'll tell you.
I'd say...
I'm about to Google their seminal debut, Hot Fuss.
None of them was. It'd be like 3.5 as those ones. Four minutes maximum. I'm saying Sam's Town era Killers would probably be about 5 minutes.
Everything will be all right. Believe me, Natalie, and all these things that I've done are all plus 5 minutes.
Right, okay. There is a big refrain at the end of all these things that I've done.
I'm not sober, but I'm not
terrible.
I quite like that one. I do quite like that one. That was one of the most top-heavy debut albums ever, but I quite like that tune.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry, Peter, you were saying you were doing something.
I squeezed in a film at Somerset House.
Oh, cool.
But it was raining. Sat in the chilly cold, in the wetty wet. It was very nice. It was a lovely place to watch at cinema. I watched the film Before Sunrise. The sequel is called
The Ethan Hawke film.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this movie series before.
There's just two of them, isn't there?
I think there's three.
Oh, there are three? Yeah. Oh, the third one came along a lot later, though,
I think. Yes, yeah.
They're very good. I watched them years and years ago, the first two.
Everyone says that they're brilliant, and I had no idea
they are, from what I remember, a rare example, and perhaps you can get Alex Zane on Clash of the Titles to talk about this better, but a rare example of a romantic drama that's actually really, really good. Like, it's not schmaltzy or boring or kind of shallow. They're both they actually are very good from my memory. I haven't seen them for years, but that's my memory of them.
I'd also like to recommend The Return of Mindhunter, where a little wet boy and his big friend try and pre-determine or pre-empt murders.
Pre-crime.
Before they're done. Pre-crimes.
Like Minority Report.
Yeah, something like that.
There's been some scandal about that in the US over the last week or two.
What, Mindhunter?
A guy was arrested.
Right.
For I'm probably going to get this wrong, but some law enforcement authority was intercepting conversations about something he was talking about planning on doing. A crime.
Yeah.
I do the crime. But he hadn't actually done it.
Put the baby in the oven.
But he got arrested anyway.
Right.
So
were they allowed to legally tap his phones or find this audio? I mean, it depends on whether it's legal to find that audio in the first place. If not, then no arrests should be made.
This is a message.
I'd keep an eye, though.
This is a message to people who are listening in the US. For us Brits, when we see the news and the information we get from the US when it comes to law enforcement, it's terrifying. It's largely terrifying.
Not
always.
For us, we're white.
Yeah, well, that is a problem. But you know what I mean? It feels quite scary.
Yeah, it just seems to be everyone's got a bit of a hair trigger. And the ones that, it's just all very scary, quite frankly. And frequently racially motivated. And there was a brilliant clip of, in Russia, a bloke driving his car. He's filming himself getting pulled over for using his mobile phone while driving.
Right.
And the female police officer comes up and says, can I get your license and stuff? And he said, oh, why have you stopped me? She says, because you were driving while using your mobile phone. And he said, what, this? And picks up his mobile phone and eats it. He'd made a cake version of his iPhone just to piss off.
He's planned that,
but also you're still getting arrested. You're still using your right hand for a mobile phone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so you're still doing the same thing that you would be doing even if you were arrested.
But where's the evidence, though?
Actually,
he's eating it.
It's true. Yeah,
that is.
If you eat a weapon afterwards, if you can like chow down a claw hammer,
what a deviant! Like, he's actually made that cake. So imagine the situation.
He made several, so he's clearly done a few runs.
His wife's come in.
Yeah,
from the shop.
Steve?
What are you up to? Oh, it's just baking a cake. Oh, that's unlike you. Yeah. Well, it's a funny sort of arrangement of different coloured ice frostings you've got there. Oh, yeah, because what I'm doing is I'm making a phone. It's a mobile phone cake. Right, why are you doing that? Is it for a children's party or something? Yeah. What a nice thing to do. No, it's for this. Pathetic. Get out. This marriage is finished. Get out.
Oh, I spent a good... speaking of oblong-shaped things, terrible link, I know, but there is an airport in Japan. I'm obsessed with the mascots. Mondo Mascots is a great Twitter page you should all follow, where it's just weird mascots, unofficial and official mascots of different prefectures, different towns, different companies, industries, things like that. Everybody in Japan has got a little mascot because they're a bit of a moneymaker. The cuter they are, the better they are. Kumamono.
You're my really mascot, good. Pete.
Cheers, mate. Is it Kumamoto? Kumamoto is the place, and Kumamono is the bear thing that is the mascot for that part of the country, I think, or it might be the reverse. And he's made like billions of pounds just because he's so cute. And the prefecture just said, look, you can have the image of Kumamono. Use him as you would. And he's become very popular. There's some really, like, Domokon's really big for the NHK TV company and stuff. But there was this one that's like an airport, and the mascot for this airport, this really remote airport in the middle of Japan, is a landing strip. It's literally just a runway with hands that's got planes for hands. It looks terrible.
It's got eyes.
Yeah, it has got eyes.
Yeah.
It looks fucking awful, Lou.
Just sticking eyes and hands on things.
I know. It's just awful.
We should do that.
I found a place in France that does like pre-made, customizable mascots. So like for like half a grand, 500 quid in all money. You can buy your own.
Half a grand. Half no one says that.
Half a grand.
It's a monkey. It's a monkey. Monkey.
All right, for a monkey, you can buy a monkey, probably, with like certain custom modifications. They make these things to order, but they're actually well put together. They look like official World Cup mascots, for example, running around.
Could you get one for the Football Ramble Live tour? Oh, Football Ramble Daily Live?
Could we do that? 500 quid? Is that? That would be eating into the minimal profits.
I reckon if we split it between us, we could expense it. It wouldn't flag. It wouldn't flag.
It wouldn't flag, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
We split it between four of us. It
all right,
flag.
Cool.
I forgot to say to you that yesterday, so yeah. I go to a hairdresser's called,
ooh,
a salon called.
Hairdressers. Do they put hairspray in your hair?
Well, I'm about to talk to you about that. Listen, if there's one person I know that uses more hairspray than anyone else, it's you, Pete
Dawson. Yeah, it's terrible. Honestly, my bathroom, after a few months, is just caked.
It's just chlorofluorocarbons.
Sticky mess all over the place.
Yeah, but what about the hairspray?
What about the hairspray? Hey?
Anyway, so I was in the hairdresser's. What do you call it? A salon? I guess a salon, isn't it?
Barbers, I guess.
No, it's not a barber, because a barber's like a man's only, isn't it?
Okay.
So I go to Pop in West Norwood.
Right.
And it's run by a lady called Poppy. And that's why it's called Pop. And she's very lovely. And I like her to cut my hair because she's good and she's really friendly. And she runs, it's a family run thing with her husband, Sel, and they've got a son called Kobe. And he's always playing around in the little play area at the back.
Cool.
Anyway, she's always really, really nice, and she's, as a result, she's very popular, so it takes me ages to get an appointment. And I was able to get an appointment yesterday, which of course was on a Sunday, which is a bit annoying.
The Sabbath.
I wanted to watch the cricket and the football and all the rest of it. But anyway, I go there, a bit flustered because I didn't really want to go on the Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Get there, she said, oh yeah, I'll be with you in just a second. I'm just bleached. She's putting highlights in like a woman's hair or something. And so I sit down, wait. She brings over a cup of tea, go and sit down. And I could tell, you know, when you could, it's almost like the coffee machine thing again. I could tell that she's, her mind's kind of drifted.
Somewhere else, yeah.
She's thinking about something else, right?
You've worked with me for too long.
Yeah, quite. And not joking, she starts spraying what she thinks is water in my hair.
Yeah.
Turns out to be vinegar from cleaning the mirrors, which inexplicably is in the same colour bottle as the water spray.
Yeah.
And she's like, she looks at me and I'm thinking, what have you done here? Is this like acid bleach, or something? Yeah. And she goes, oh, Luke, can I just bring you through to the hair washing bit? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I just want to wash your hair. Okay. Because I'd already had my hair washed.
She didn't admit that she
did. No, she did. She went, by the way, I accidentally sprayed vinegar in your hair.
Did she do it in like kind of like a, sorry, Luke, I have just put vinegar in your hair.
Like, yeah, and then she went, but apparently it's very good for your hair. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, you do it all the time, do you? Yeah.
Now drink this delicious blue cocktail.
I was like this. Fine. But what I did say,
I'm not
to her,
a big chip, even though I smell like one.
Bit of feedback. No. Can you perhaps put the vinegar in a different colour squeezy bottle? Be a bit easier. She's like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Shouldn't take
did
it
you actually? Did you actually tell her that?
I didn't tell her. I just said, why is it in the same colour bottle? As a joke.
Yeah.
Quite a passive aggressive joke.
A little bit passive aggressive.
You know what I mean? You've got to make a joke of it. It was British. What am I going to do? Just sit there crying?
Well, you don't have to cry at all. Just, I mean, it's an honest mistake. Bit of vinegar.
But Pete, if it was you,
didn't
know
Alan Pardew. And Ian Wright once said to me that Alan Pardew is obviously his mate, and he said he was the first person to tell him that you could like sort of slightly bleach your hair if you put lemon in your hair.
Yeah, that was all the rage at my school.
Yeah, in the sunshine.
Pete, if that had happened to you in the hairdresser, you would have been apologising to her for it happening.
I would,
punching yourself in the face, giving her 300 quid.
Thank
and,
you.
And working
I am
for free for like 3 months,
and that's why I think that we are better off alone.
You go, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. Opened it down the vinegar.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I had red peppers and vinegar last week.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
You can't just eat one though, can you? I ate the whole jar and I was trumping like a good one the next day. Absolutely disgusting.
How many trumps were talking about you?
They were thermonuclear. They were disgusting.
How many do you reckon?
15 easily. In 3 hours. It was disgusting. I was just a big smelly mess. But they're so good, but I know what it does to my body.
Yeah, I can't really eat curry anymore. Of the,
oh really? It doesn't really sort of affect me that bad, that kind of thing. But maybe you're not going to get that with karma.
No, maybe not.
Got half a Chinese left in the fridge. Got to have that when I get home. Woo!
You didn't have your Sunday night Chinese last week.
No, I didn't actually. No, I think I had it Monday night. I'm on drive time at the moment, so like I get home. What do people do when they get home at like 7 o'clock? Because I'm not used to getting home at 7 o'clock after doing a bit of work. I'm usually going to work at about 10 p.m. So like you finish at 7, you're like. Ah, right. I've got the creeping fear of the Ramble videos to produce for Ramble Live.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can sort that. I can do that. But or I could just sit and watch YouTube while eating a Chinese.
Procrastinate. I feel like the routine thing is difficult. When I first moved from working like a full-time traditional job to this, it was hard because you don't have a routine as much. But also now I'm doing radio shows as well. Like last night I presented Trans Europe Express,
yeah,
which is obviously it's a big show for that station because it's one of the more thoughtful ones, and they kind of hang their hat on it. And it was presented by the great Danny Kelly, of course, and he's not doing it this season, so they asked him to come in and do it just for the first one. And so that all the stress of that, which is, I think, part of the reason I was on edge about my hairdressing appointment. But
what?
Well, you see what I mean when you get a bit nervous about something. It's on your mind.
You don't want vinegar in your hair.
Well, it's not a great preparation, is it?
Andy Brassel turns and goes, "Sorry, Lars, can you smell vinegar?"
Yeah, but the thing I was going to say was, but not only that, it starts at 9 and it goes through till midnight. So you have this idea that you can't really eat. I suppose you can eat your dinner, but you have the meeting at like 7 o'clock, so it's hard to have the dinner.
Right.
And then when you're finished at midnight, the trains are done.
Yeah.
So you have to get a cab back.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel sick in the back of the cab. Anyway, the routines is an important
all over
thing.
The shop, yeah.
It is a difficult one, and especially when you come in the next morning early. But anyway, we are very fortunate to do what we do. So.
Can I interest you? I'm sick of everything. I want to leave. Can I interest you in fucking Huel? Can I interest you in that Huel?
Well, the big
stuff?
Guy from Breaking Bad.
No, it's like a new Silicon Valley kind of food. It's not new, but it's made from peas, and it's fucking disgusting.
There was a couple of guys into it at...
was there? I bet they were smelling the place.
When I worked
up.
At Betfair, yeah. They were into it. The kind of guys that, like, they're a bit younger. They're on the grad program at Betfair, which is quite a well-respected grad program.
Right.
But they're all just into pumping iron.
Yeah.
And they've got nothing interesting to
say. They just eat Huel.
Yeah.
And they just have Huel. Have you ever had the... I had this breakfast Huel. It was horrible. Absolutely foul.
Surely you still get hungry, though. That's the thing, because your stomach gets hungry, but it's got nothing, no food in it.
I think it's not even a diet thing. It's just a, I don't have time to eat. It's just fuel. It's perfect for me, because obviously I hate the fetishization of food, but it is just a powder that you mix with water or whatever and make like a little milkshake, and it provides all of the protein and all of the ingredients and nutrients you need in one little packet, but it just seems a bit joyless.
It feels like an extension of that weird Silicon Valley routine that the people who run those big companies do. Like when like Jack Dorsey's like...
Hour of yogurt at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like... Mark Zuckerberg only eats animals he's killed himself, otherwise he won't eat them. And Jack Dorsey does an ice bath for 4.5 minutes at 2 degrees, and then he just sleeps for 3 hours, and then he, you know, touches a statue of a Buddha and rubs a grape up his bum hole and antioxidants of some de-alkalized almonds or something like that.
Nice,
you know?
I love learn all of this.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's Huel, but you can do it for a lot cheaper than that in a real life scenario. Have a sandwich. Look, I'm not regularly in a position where I can give any sort of nutritional advice to anyone, but I have lost 40 pounds in the last 5 months.
That's
a lot. I've done it by maintaining a healthy calorie deficit, and it's easy.
A calorie deficit.
And I can say it's easy because I've fucking done it. All right?
All right, mate.
And there's nothing special about me. Pete, let's have a break.
All right.
Come back. I've got an email about animals on the moon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ooh. Oh, well, who wants to live forever?
Who wants to live forever?
Certainly not me. Mm. Do I want to live forever? Mm.
I'd quite enjoy it, I reckon.
You already told me you hate life at the moment.
No.
And you're bored and you want to leave.
I want to be like Spike from Buffy.
I'm rewatching Buffy at the moment.
Hello, I'm Spike. I'm British.
Don't spoil me. Don't spoil me.
I can't look. I can't remember what happened last week to Luke and Peter. I'm not going to remember what happened to Buffy.
We're four episodes into the first season.
There was a bit of a love triangle between him, Buffy, and what's his name?
Me and the lovely Mrs. Lukey.
Hello, Lukey. I'm Spike from Buffy, and I talk like this.
The good thing is the Watcher in Buffy the Vampire Slayer is in no way a stereotypical exaggeration of an Englishman.
Is that Niles? Giles?
Anthony
Giles.
Head. He's called Giles. Yeah.
Oh,
he's always terribly apologetic.
Hello, I am. I just put vinegar in my hair. I smell like a big chip.
I didn't put
I
it in my own
like
hair.
I smell like some Inari sushi.
I do like Inari sushi, if anyone was wondering.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com is the email address. Jack's been in touch.
Yes.
And he says, hi, Luke and Pete. With all the recent chat about the moon in the wake of the anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission, I wondered if you'd come across this story. An Israeli spacecraft crash landed on the moon in April.
Mm.
And what's interesting about this particular spacecraft is that it was carrying an unusual cargo. And it was carrying a collection of tardigrades, sometimes referred to as water bears. These were placed on the spacecraft as part of a lunar library, effectively a backup for planet Earth containing records of human knowledge and biology. The Arch Mission Foundation, which organized this, wants to send these out to various solar system locations in the event of a life-ending event occurring on Earth. As well as this information, they also sent some of these water bears, which had been dehydrated and encased in amber. These are extremely tough creatures and have likely survived the crash landing and are currently trapped alone on the moon. Is the Luke and Pete Show willing to promote water bear rights and campaign to have these creatures rescued? Well, it's very interesting because I looked up water bears, these tardigrades, and they are fascinating little things. So they're smaller than a millimeter in diameter. They're able to essentially die and then reanimate. Mm. So they reduce themselves to something like 0.01% of their metabolism and they can stay there for years and years.
Can't they live in like sulfur, like really high sulfur situations? They are...
They're almost indestructible.
I am recommending not doing that because water bears, if you've ever looked at one, are disgusting. And
yeah,
they look like they're in the video game Half-Life.
Water bears are what we've left on the fucking moon.
It's disgusting. It's horrible. Yeah, so no, we're not rescuing your fucking water bears. That's where they belong. Stay there.
And I also found out on that mission that the spacecraft was an Israeli spacecraft, as Jack said, but they tacked onto, I think, a private venture launch and then got themselves to the moon in quite a weird way. Right. So rather than going the 250,000 miles directly there, as a lot of the Apollo
missions
did.
Like an Uber pool.
Sort of, but they used the orbit of the Earth to kind of slingshot themselves there. Mm. So they ended up doing like 20 times the amount of mileage they needed to do in the first place.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that affected the reasons to why it crash landed, because I don't think the boosters to give them a soft landing actually worked.
No.
So it smashed into the moon. Only US, Russia and China have ever done a soft landing on the moon.
Right.
Apparently.
So there we go. The water bears are like, fucking hell, mate, that was it. Oh,
Turned out the water bears had lied about passing their driver's test.
I was reading about, speaking of crash landings, great one in Russia. Well done, those pilots. Good God.
What happened there?
There was a bird strike just after takeoff. Obviously, cataclysmic situation for any pilot to deal with. Crash landed in a field next to the airstrip. Excellent.
All lives saved?
All lives saved. A couple of nasty injuries, but... excellent work.
Would you say you are most scared of bird strikes, of all the things that could happen?
Nah. Fuck it.
You're not scared of anything, Pete?
Nah. Did I tell you about the guy who, I think I mentioned it on the WhatsApp with Mihan Hyo, the guy in Japan in, I think it was 1995 or something, he stabbed the captain of an ANA, big Boeing flight kind of thing,
right.
Stabbed the captain, murdered him, and took over the flight. Because he wanted to fly the plane under the Rainbow Bridge. There's a Rainbow Bridge meeting the mainland of Japan, Tokyo, in Odaiba. And he wanted to fly this massive fucking plane under the Rainbow Bridge. And it would have been spectacular. I'm glad he didn't do it, because everyone would have died. But that was his plan. He wanted to fly it under the Rainbow Bridge.
What happened to the fate of that plane? What was the fate of it?
The passengers and stewards managed to take the knife off the mad bastard, and
Well, they landed the plane.
But the co-pilot landed the plane. The co-pilot was fine.
Blimey, Riley, that's a crazy dramatic situation.
Yeah, but just his plan was that he was going to fly under the Rainbow Bridge. Just you know, blows me away.
Yeah,
blows me away.
Don't encourage it though, Pete.
Don't encourage hijacking of planes. Got an email here from Scott Abercrombie, which is a beautiful, beautiful name.
You look like a girl from Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah. Luke and Pete, if your basement waterproofer won't regale you with their tales from being in other people's houses, I surely will. I am a real estate appraiser. That is the plot of the first couple of episodes of Mindhunter. So there you go.
Sounds like the opening to a Bob Dylan song. I'm a real estate appraiser.
Featuring Tim's new girlfriend from The Office.
I don't know that.
Tim's new girlfriend from The Office in series season 2 of The Office UK.
Pam.
No.
She's in it, is she?
She's in it. She has an excellent American accent. Okay. I have walked in on a naked woman in a bathroom. She knew I was in the house. She let me in. She knew I'd be walking around the house to have a look in every room.
That old chestnut.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos.
I smell a sitcom or a porn film.
I've stepped in dog poo on a kitchen floor. I've stepped in more wet spots on carpets in my socked feet than I care to mention. I guess as a real estate appraiser, it's only fair. That's why house shoes are a good option. I have awakened a homeless man in a vacant house. Luckily, I made it out of the house without incident. I've been dive bombed by a pair of barn swallows protecting their nest on a front porch. I have been in houses with obvious drugs and drug paraphernalia laying around. Also, porn. Lots of porn.
If you were a real estate appraiser, as in, we would call that an estate evaluator here, right?
Yeah, right.
Would you take a pair of slippers with you wherever you went and just stick them on when you got in there? You must do a lot of taking your shoes off.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Oh, those stupid little shoes that silly runners wear that are like socks, but you can see the toes in them and they're rubber.
Yeah.
And they've got like a grip on the feet gloves. Yeah.
Like feet gloves.
Why those?
I would have a pair of work slippers in the car.
Right.
And a pair of house slippers for home.
I've also attached a picture of a painting that I came across at someone's house a few years ago. I know Pete will get a kick out of it. These types of paintings are far more common than I would have imagined. And there it is. Looks like Theresa May in the nude.
So it's just a naked painting of someone who lives there, presumably.
Maybe. Or just an older lady having a little rest.
Having a little sit down.
In the nude.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's when you know you're old, when you ask people what they've been doing. And they say,
I have to sit down.
My grandpa used to say, what have I done today? I had a bit of a sit down.
Yeah.
So that's not a thing, is it?
That is a feature. Well,
that was a break in between things.
In our busy lives, I think having a sit down is quite rare, I'd say.
I'm having a sit down now.
I just spend a lot of my time sitting down, to be honest.
Yeah. We are sedentary. And thanks for that, Scott. Scott's from Huntsville in Alabama, where I was earlier this summer.
Alabama.
Very interesting place. I liked it in Alabama. Mm. I particularly liked the Space and Rocket Center. But I've told you all about that.
Yes.
What about this? We could probably got time to squeeze this one in. I asked for emails around UFO sightings, unexplained phenomena, preferably in the night sky.
Mm.
This is a nice one from Toby, who says, gents, a few years ago on a late summer's eve, I was cooking a very late dinner after a gig at my flat in Woolacombe, North Devon. Woolacombe is a lovely part of the world.
Lovely.
When I popped outside to steal some herbs from my landlady's greenhouse.
What kind of herbs?
Isn't so.
What kind of herbs, big boy?
And I looked up. The sky was completely clear. The stars were out in force and the air was still. But there was something odd.
Mm.
At first, I thought it was just one. Just a single aeroplane or satellite or perhaps a shooting star. But as I stared harder, I realised what I was seeing. Virtually all of the stars were moving westward in one huge galactic shift. Assuming I must be dizzy or drunk, I steadied myself and looked again. Nearly every star was moving, almost all at the same speed, in the same direction. What made this clearer were the few stars staying absolutely still as the others passed them at astonishing speed. If you can imagine being underneath one of the Empire's giant spaceships in Star Wars, and thus all you can see are the lights on its hull and not the ship itself, that's pretty much what I saw. I checked Twitter to see if anyone else had noticed, but there was nothing. I did the same the next day, but still nothing. While I'm a massive sci-fi fan and would love this to have been evidence of alien spacecraft above me, I don't genuinely think this was the case. I almost certainly did not actually see what I thought I saw. And yet, the mind plays funny old tricks on us, and I hate to admit this is what happened, but as the adage goes, I want to believe. Thanks for the shows, Toby.
I reiterate my question, what kind of herbs?
A couple of things flash up, don't they? The herbs.
Yeah.
Very late dinner after a gig. That's not going to have been a sober affair,
no,
is it?
No, no, yeah. Exactly.
I think there's a reasonable chance that Toby was, in fact, actually watching Star Wars. Yeah. I'm going to use the phrase drink had been taken. But I asked for that sort of kind of story, yeah, and I've got no reason to doubt him.
I enjoyed his story.
And you ever seen anything in the night sky, Pete?
Nah, fuck it.
I remember going out once as a kid and seeing the International Space Station going across.
Nice.
Or okay, some kind of satellite or something. Right. Interesting, right?
Do they have to put lights on satellites?
It's a good question.
Like tall buildings. I presume so aeroplanes avoid them.
I presume it's the reflection of a star or something.
But would you have to? I mean, yeah.
I'm not sure. There was someone took an amazing photo of the International Space Station. It zoomed in and it looks amazing. It looks really massive and complicated in the sky. It's cool. Because I think people assume that with a telescope you can see all this stuff, but you can't because telescopes are only any good for things that are static, really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just impossible.
Right.
But anyway.
So it's moving. Can you, I just think the International Space Station could do with like a redesign, like an iPhone. Just, you know, it's just.
Or make it have a cake.
Just a mash. Just a massive like wires and pumps and tubes.
Do you reckon they send up? Do you reckon they do updates to it and stuff?
Do you get Johnny Ives up
there? Do you reckon they do software updates?
They probably do, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy.
All right, cool. Let's get out of here, Pete. We'll be back on Thursday, the 22nd of August for episode 196 as that 200 comes rolling around the corner.
Ooh la la.
What you got planned for the rest of the week, Pete?
I'm going to have a knife fight in the garden.
And I'm going to have a sit down.
No.
This has been a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.